July 22, 2020. It's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you. to forget you.
Pedro Show, happy Wednesday, getting towards the end of July, maybe in the middle of summer. It's pretty bizarre. We heard on Green Dolphin Street, John Coltrane with Miles Davis, and after that, Wall of Tom with Blackberry Pat. Brother Matt, you know, we're in quitting quarantino mode, so Brother Matt's at the Love Grotto, the Pleasure Point, a couple miles south of here, but I'm not totally man alone. Because of those engineers in Estonia with their Skype software invention, I got Tommy Vaughn with me.
All right.
And you're talking to me from Santa Barbara?
I am.
Okay. What's your earliest musical recollection, Tommy?
I would have to say my dad playing the ukulele. We used to play and sing ukulele songs, all the fun ones. Was Eyes of Blue, Covered in Pearls. Those, I would say, the times with my family, she'll be coming around the mountain. That's probably my earliest music recollection of music and singing and good times.
And you were little, right? Where was this?
This was in Reedsport, Oregon. I was very little. I would say, you know, I was probably 2 and 3.
Good memory.
Well, you know, it's funny. My family did recordings of it. So even though I don't really remember it, I've heard the recordings so many times.
Okay. What about, so in the pad you grew up in, there was a ukulele, there was instruments.
Yes. There was piano. My mom played piano and my dad played ukulele.
Was it ever suggested to you to do piano lessons?
Funny story. My older sister, she was given piano lessons and she hated it. She hated piano lessons and they never sought to try it with me. Although I sang and put on shows and did all that, they never thought to have me have piano lessons because my mom said it was just such a pain in the ass with my sister. So at an early age, I was not given any sort of musical training.
But you sang along with the family.
I sang along with every single Leif Garrett song and Donny Osmond song that I could.
did you like pound on the piano?
I did. Okay. I did. I used to make recordings of songs, made up songs. Again, we still have them, and they're super cute of myself. Making up the most nonsense songs when I was 4 and 5, and we would send those tapes to my grandparents.
What about the ukulele? Did your pop give you a lesson?
No, actually, my sister played ukulele and I sang along. I think there must have been some sort of breakdown with that, but my family said, I just love to sing. I just always singing.
Well, voice is an instrument.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And probably the first drums was bottoms of people's feet dancing, stomping on the ground.
Exactly.
What about at school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
Well, in school, I really wasn't. I did some drama in school. I remember my first talent contest at school. I was in the sixth grade, and I sang Ebony and Ivory. I don't know why that choice was, but I got up in front of the whole school and sang a cappella that song. And from that day on, I knew what I wanted to do.
What was the first record you bought for yourself?
For myself, it would have had to have been Blondie, I would say. I was big into Blondie, into Chrissy Hynde, into Stevie Nicks, Fleetwood Mac. I thought that those girls were it.
Do you remember which Blondie album?
What was it? I just played it the other day. I don't. I can okay. remember the.
There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers. That's the way it is on the Walk from Pedro show.
I like that.
Okay. What about the first gig? What was the first gig you saw?
I saw Def Leppard. That was my first concert. Can you believe it? And I thought Joe Elliott was the best thing since sliced bread.
You know what my first one was?
What?
T-Rex.
No!
And that's what I thought about Mark Bowen. I got a poster at the, you know, they didn't have merchandising, but they had bootleg guys a couple blocks away from the venue, Long Beach Auditorium. So I got a poster for $2. You know, it was Xerox off one of the record covers. Cut Mickey Finn out. And I put on my bulkhead, and he was my first rock star.
Oh, you couldn't have picked a better one. I have to tell you that the slider just changed my life.
That's the tour I saw.
Oh, I thought, and it was funny because, you know, since all this COVID stuff has gone on, I have two children and we've gone back to the 70s and all I let them do was pick out albums. And my son said the other day, he yelled out, he said, "Hey, Mom, what about T-Rex?" And I have to say that was probably the proudest parent moment ever.
You know, Slider, I think Ringo took the cover picture of Mark Bowen.
Wow.
You opened it up because it was black and white.
Right.
But you opened it up and it was bright orange. And that one, because they have these album covers called Gatefold, huh? They opened up. You clean your mota, right. Get the seeds out of the mota. Well, ZZ Top had an album around the same time called Tres Hombres. But when you opened up their cover, it was all green on the outside, some little pictures of them. But you opened it up, and it was a gigantic Mexican chow from this pad in Houston. And it looked so fucking good. So those are my two favorite gatefolds, is the Slider and Tres Hombres.
Yeah, I miss the albums, just the excitement.
With the CDs, it was a new thing. It was like a book.
Right.
So everything has its own trip. Not much with an MP3 file, though.
Not much at all.
I want to play That Day from Wall of Time. Huh?
All right.
Imagination, a cloud that enters on the wind, a burning amber burst into flame, ghost in my heart, here it comes again. Thank you.
You shone up, so make like a grown up all of your life. Face it, embrace it, you've learned where to trace it. Shortened it to a straight line. Know when to bite them, and they'll shine a light then, all in good time. Day up the day. That's why I'm gonna cherish every moment with you. They say this time won't last, 'cause you're growing up so fast. It's true. That's why. Mother's tears, you'll see her smile, but all the while I'll see you as a child, crawling, running, kissing, how the memories have piled. Why I'm gonna cherish every moment with you. They say this time won't last, 'cause you're growing up so fast. It's true. That's why I'm gonna cherish every moment with you. It gets harder every day. I wish I could stay the same forever. It gets harder.
For Pedro Show, that was That Day from Wall of Time. And then Fute, brand new record coming out. I think it's called Vertigo KO, like knockout, you know, and all that vertigo. Guided by Voices. Last year, Bob Pollard's put out, you know, 3 albums, one of them double. This guy's incredible. Mother's Milk Elementary, Wild Rats, stuff I did with Ronnie. In the 1997, Thirst, Don Fleming, Steve Shelley. Pat Smear from The Germs with his second solo record, a tune called Cold Town. Incredible musician, Pat Smear. Thorn Friends after that. No, Team Dresch got a brand new record, 7. They're Portland, Oregon. And I met Donna Dresch when she was doing bass for Screaming Trees. And she was just getting this band going. That must have been, I don't know, 30-something years. And then finally, Wall of Time with Cherish Every Moment. So what about the thing where after school, the bedroom band or the basement band, garage band, you know, with friends from school, did you do that?
I did that later on in life, actually. I say later on in life, but in my early 20s, I had my first garage band, and I loved every stinking moment of it, really. We just went in this tiny rehearsal spot, and we sucked really bad.
I'm curious, did you start writing songs, or did you first try to copy stuff off records?
You know what? I've always been kind of a songwriter. I really just started with melodies and would kind of tinker around with the piano and come up with the song and then take it to the band and then we kind of shot it from there.
You said piano, so you eventually learned how to play on your own?
Yes, on my own. I taught myself, and then I had some friends help me learn guitar. I'm not the best, but I can sure as hell write a song. It just became a passion for myself to know as much as I could.
I'm curious, did you get like a 4-track or something? Did you start making your own like sound on sound?
Yes, I did. I started with one of those just cassette players, you know, play, record, and you start that way. That's that was the way I started. I'm kind of an old broad, so I definitely had dinosaur recordings.
But then you would bring them to this practice pad. What, did this band have a name?
We were called Eden Park.
Okay. How many pieces?
It was a 4-piece. We just had a ball. We played a few shows. It was in San Diego. Real beachy type sound, I want to say. But still rocking. There's always that underlying, devil yell that I've got to give sometimes, but, it was good stuff. And it really was, I want to say, rudimentary, because we were just beginning.
In the band, it was their first band.
Yes. Everyone in the band, it was their first band. Our drummer had just learned how to play drums a couple of years before that. And I'm still friends with those guys. It's a funny thing when you become a band and you go through that together. It really bonds you.
Now you would make cassettes, dinosaur cassettes, and you'd bring them to the prac pad, and you guys would work them out.
And we'd work them out, and then I do believe we went into a studio in San Diego, and we did record some music there that we paid for, you know, to go into the studio. I have no idea where those recordings are. Actually, I think our guitarist might have those.
What about, you said you did some gigs. What was the first one like?
Oh, horrible. It was a backyard party for some friends. And I think that it was, it had some good moments, but I think that there was some shit too.
Well, it's your first one, right? I
mean. Absolutely. And, you know, you can't help but have a good time.
Were you scared?
Of course. Yeah. I think always that moment right before you start that you feel that fear, but then two songs in, you never want to get off that stage.
They got to bring out the hook.
Yeah.
But it was in a backyard, so maybe that was a little calmer.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot calmer. But, you know, our friends seemed to enjoy the heck out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you had to break the water. You had to get going. How long did the band last?
We lasted, I think about maybe a year before I moved to Hollywood shortly after that.
From San Diego to Hollywood.
Yes. And I kind of knew I was going to do it, but I didn't know when.
A little bit of a jump.
It was, because I grew up in a small town in Oregon.
Right.
And so that from one to the other, that is a whole different world.
But those guys stayed in San Diego. You were the only one to go to Hollywood?
Yes. And it was just, I was with a boy and he was moving and I was moving. And that's why I ended up there. But then I was by myself. Got there, we broke up, and I moved to El Cerrito and Franklin, and my whole life changed. I started working for Cherokee Recording Studios.
Oh, man, I recorded my Ball Hogger Tugboat record there.
Oh, so you know the Robb Brothers.
Exactly. In fact, they were living on a houseboat in Pedro, they told me.
Absolutely. Susan Donaldson and Dee were on a houseboat.
Now, we're talking 25. This was like 1995, which 25 years ago. Fairfax and Melrose.
Fairfax and Melrose, exactly.
Northwest corner, right.
Yeah, that was my first job in Hollywood. Wow. I was there for about 2.5 years.
Did you join a Hollywood band, though?
I did. I actually kind of created a band. I'm sure that you're friends with Mr. Rollins.
Oh, yeah.
And, And Henry used to come into the studio often. And he was, he still is, he's an amazing mentor for me. Just inspired me. He's a writer. He's you know, Mr. Revolutionary with everything that he does. He let me borrow his backing band, Mother Superior.
Oh, yeah. I remember those cats. You know what somebody just sent me a couple days ago?
What?
The Funhouse Stooges vinyl box, you know, every take of that Funhouse session on vinyl. It's this huge box.
Oh,
it weighs like 20 pounds.
Oh, my gosh. That's so cool.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
Great cat.
So, yeah, that was my first show at the Dragonfly.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I know. I remember the Dragonfly.
Yeah. And we recorded a couple songs at Cherokee. And kind of from there, Jason McCroft.
Yeah.
Introduced me to my drummer, the same drummer that I still have to this day, Kareem Iams, because they were going off on the road with Henry.
Yep.
And Kareem joined, and we had another guy at Cherokee, Ben, that joined the band, and we started rocking from there.
What'd you call this band, Tommy?
It was Wall of Tom.
Oh, it was. Okay, so this is the... I was going to ask you at the beginning of the next hour, how did Wall of Tom happen? Now, okay, so actually, Wall of Tom is your second band?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. That's so great. You know, you didn't go through all this stuff. You just, you know, you plant your feet and you just plowed.
I really did, and I just... I have to say, a lot of people say Hollywood is such a scary place, but I met the most wonderful people and had such a great experience with it all. I just think musicians are kind of the coolest people that there are, and we're all the same in our hearts. We all do it for the same, hopefully the same reasons, because we have to. I really think that I aligned myself at that time. Cherokee was my music university. I learned so much there.
Yeah, and you also learned by doing.
Absolutely, absolutely. I got to sit in on some of the greatest sessions and learn from some of the most amazing musicians. I just kept my nose to the grindstone and learned everything that I could.
You know what's great about Hank is his work ethic.
Yeah.
It's really intense. I remember Minutemen playing with Black Flag a few gigs on it was the Loose Nut Tour. And before they go on stage, Hank could have a cue ball, you know, pool, and just squeeze in that. You could tell all his focus. Like, you know, if he could, he would have crushed that ball, but he could, you know. He wasn't that strong, but it was just the idea of it. I'm going to do this because I got to get ready.
Yeah. Because he's one of the most amazing people I've ever had the fortune to meet.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah. He had a big effect on me. And thinking about it, coming on 40 years.
Wow. Yeah, well, it's been 20 for me.
Yeah, isn't that a trip? Look, we're at the end of the first hour. July 22nd, 2020 edition. Wap Peter, so special guest Tommy Vaughn. Hold tight for hour two. July 22nd, 2020 is the second hour of the Wap from Pedro show.
Walk away so easy. Who could you be? The taking and the choosing. And I'm feeling all alone, 'cause there's no one here at home.
junk of hers. Compacted, gorgeously filleted. But then again, man, maybe you just need to get laid. But not you, brother. You'd rather spaz and squirm, blowing all your liberty. Bummed out, bingo, zigzag trajectory. If you're ground zero, I'd say you were damn lucky. It's a chain letter, but brother, you always want cuts. And when it's your turn, you're lazy. You let it run. Yes, I called him a thief.
Thank you. follow you if you want me to. I'll make you see your path so true. I'll fly you up to a sky so blue. We'll make believe there's nothing we can't do.
Pedro show start off the second hour with Empty Halls. I was just talking with Tommy about our kind of slang, Pedro slang for empty halls. We call them character builders.
Ooh.
In fact, Hank, in my crack pad hallway, somebody put up a Xerox of something he wrote about. If you can't play those kind of gigs, you shouldn't get to play the other kind of gigs either.
Damn right.
Okay, so yeah. Empty Halls with Wall of Tom, then Damon Smith after that with Three Clouds and These Few Words, solo stand-up, an edited version of Under the Stall Door, Emption. That came from via Grux. Chris Butler with Thief, Digging Up My Date by the Blood Drained Cows. That's got Greg Turner, Angus Smalls. He's teaching calculus out in New Mexico these days. And finally, Wall of Tom with Inside This Dream. So, Wall of Tom, tell me about the first Wall of Tom gig.
I do believe the first Wall of Tom gig was, I think the first one would have been the backing band of Mother Superior. I do believe I billed myself then as Wall of Tom. But I would say our first Wall of Tom official show with the lineup, that was the solid lineup, for quite some time was the Viper Room. And, I have no idea what night of the week, but it was a great show. And I just remember the sound, how good the sound was at the Viper Room, that you could hear everything and you didn't have to push it was all right there, right in front of you.
And, I mean, this is the band you put together, right? So,
yeah.
The Mother Superiors. But same idea, though. You probably taught them your songs, right?
Absolutely. They came in, they learned the songs. Kareem Iams and Tony Grimes had joined the band by then, and he's still in the band. Our bass player, Daniel Seif, all of us, we had a time. We had definitely a time together. We enjoyed the hell out of it.
What about tour? Did you guys tour?
We did. Just really mostly California, San Francisco, San Diego. We didn't really go too far. We kind of did the circle. It was a small circle, I guess, but tons of Hollywood shows.
You're talking like an I-5 tour.
Yes, I like that. I-5 tour.
Okay, yeah. Stay in the same time zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and that was your first time touring, right?
Yes.
What'd you think? Yes.
I wished I could stay on the road forever. I think that if I was born in another time, I would have been born in the 70s and I would have just kept going.
Because you hear a lot of people bum about touring, right?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's definitely some ups and downs about it, that it is a lot of work, but at the same time, I think that when you get the opportunity to get out there and do what you really love, I think that, especially now in these times,
where
you think about, oh my God, will I ever do that again? It really makes you appreciate it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I want to play Somewhere.
Salvation of Morgan, because it lies from my teenage room.
Yeah. Pete, what's he going to do for it?
This is called Eyes, Eyes, which is self-explanatory. I'm still in tune after banging it. Yeah. Protein monster ate a sack of poison sugar, crawling out of the barn to the weeds to die, rolling his eyes, eyes, eyes. Mama molasses broke my glasses, and the moon came up and we wiggled our asses. She's got red eyes, eyes, eyes. The werewolf rides and everybody hides. He won't be scared when he dies. Look in his eyes, eyes, eyes. Marilyn Monroe pointed her toe, crawling out of the pool from the water so cool. Camera flashes flashing back from her eyes, eyes, eyes. Lawrence Ferlinghetti eating spaghetti with long, tall Sally and Salvador Dali. 20th century eyes, eyes, eyes. Smokey the Bear standing there in front of a woods all black and bare. Tears in his eyes, eyes, eyes. And she calls me a bum, sleeping through the day. There was nothing I wanted to say. I closed my eyes, eyes, eyes.
Thank you. I won't ask the title of that because I think I know it, but I'm probably wrong.
Yeah, the next one I get is about eyes, too, and we don't want to get redundant.
Is that digital?
Yeah.
for Pedro show. You just heard Inside Wauwatosa. Before that, Peter Lochner with Eyes. Mountain Offensive. That's Brother Philip and Big Bear. One of these days. I think it's the first song on Metal, Pink Floyd album, but his interpretation. Magnet Hearts with I Was Gone. Jonathan from Backbiter. Black Moon Tape with The Salvation of Morgaine. Nomadio Records. And start off with Somewhere, Wauwatosa. So, you know these recordings we're hearing in Wauwatosa?
Mm-hmm.
Where were they done? Is this what you were talking about, Cherokee, the recording?
Actually, Somewhere was recorded at a few different studios, but Somewhere, our Dreamland was recorded at Elephant Symphony Studios at the Women's Center in Hollywood. We set up live.
Wow.
And in my bathroom in El Cerrito, we recorded all the vocals and sitting on the toilet. for that album, for the album 8, we recorded that at ESI in Burbank.
Yeah.
And for Universal Attraction, I do believe we recorded Universal Attraction at ESI and then also at home in our rehearsal spot that we had. And then The Lovers, we recorded, in the Valley. It was over by Nate's studio. I don't think it exists anymore.
That happened.
And at home, again, we recorded, we had a studio in our garage in Burbank.
So a lot of you record self-produced, or do you work with producer?
Mostly self-produced, yeah. I would say. Mostly self-produced. My guitarist is also a sound engineer, so he recorded everything. Just recently I've been able to start working with Toby Wright, and that's just been a thrill, to have a mind like that, to work with when you're producing an album.
Yeah, yeah. Because a producer's got to have the big picture, right?
Absolutely.
So if you've got a band, especially a guy in the band, the guitar man, working the knobs, then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we're an indie band. We've been an indie band since the beginning, and we just try to do everything from the heart.
Now, you know, when you say indie band, that's kind of the way you operate, like Econo, right? It's not really a sound. I hear people say, like, indie band is like a sound. To me, it's the same thing like, a punk band. Whereas everybody can have their own sounds, you can be part of movements without, like, all sounding the same.
Like, exactly.
What does indie sound like? Like, one guy's just playing?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I guess it's a DIY type attitude.
Right. Now, and what does that sound like? Well, that sounds like whoever's playing, right? Is there really a DIY sound?
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all. Hopefully not, because, you know, those are the recordings that I remember from childhood. Those are the biggest DIY recordings.
So what I'm getting at, Tommy, a little bit is it's stretching it to try to, like, maybe you don't feel brave enough. You got to, like, create a brown or a brand or a trend of, like, rally around. It just can't be music. Like, what's your opinion of genres? Labels, tags.
Yeah, they've always wanted to put us in a box, I think, musically. What is Wauwatosa? What does it mean? And what kind of sound is it? Everybody wants to make us something else, basically. But really our sound was just what we were feeling at that time. It reflects you know, our moods, our lives, the things that we were dealing with. So I think that trying to make a genre or trying to put yourself within a box has always been something that has been tough for me, because even I can't do that with our music.
Right. I can empathize with you big time. I think it's trying to get some kind of shortcut on the truth, man. You got to listen to it. It doesn't matter what kind of tag is stamped on it.
It's true. Hey, I didn't mention, I know. I was actually at Coachella in 2003 when you played with the Stooges.
Oh, yeah. That was the first one. I was shitting a pecan log. We're at the end of the second hour, July 22nd, 2020. Okay. Special guest Tommy Vaughn. Hold tight for hour three. July 22, 2020. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Shelter. be the pusher. Wait, you made a mistake. So we're gonna do a take two. Never see it live. We're gonna do it right now.
Out for Pedro show. We start off the third hour with Walla Tom doing Tornado. And then Crane, I think this is him with the late, great Richard Barrett, Kangaroo Court, doing Confrontational Ways. And then him with John Rocknowski, Crane, John Rocknowski, Dirk Vandenberg. What's the Tape? Wasted Space. Well, brand new from Wire, Lines Blind, and then Drive Through Fire, Wall of Tom. Now, you like to write too, right, Tommy?
I do. I do. I kind of have a couple books out there.
Yeah. So how does one form of expression inform the other one?
Well, I think that I may have cheated a bit because I wrote my novels, I wrote my trilogy actually on rock and roll, and I had the behind the scenes kind of look as an artist. So I wrote about what I loved and what I knew, and that was rock and roll.
Now, did you take writing classes in school?
I did. I've always been quite a writer. I enjoyed all my creative writing classes. I wrote quite a few short stories. But I've been a songwriter, and I always feel like songs are just small stories. At least the way that I write songs. And so my books are just an extended song that goes on for three books. But the last one, This Rock and Roll Dream, just came out a couple months ago. And it just feels right, especially now with the times and everything, to read about live music and read about what it's like to be in a band and have these experiences. I think that it's something that a lot of people will enjoy.
With your writing, do you use an editor?
I do. I have a publisher and an editor, and thankfully, because I'm a horrible, horrible speller.
Oh, so there's just mistakes. It's not like you write too much.
No. And I really, thankfully, they do not creatively change anything. It's just more, you know, punctuation and spelling, and make sure those things are proper.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I got asked, was it DiCapo? The head, right? Yeah, but there's a publishing company, and hey, what? We'd like to do a book on you, but as told to, because you don't really write. You do poetry. It's like,
hey,
never mind. Go to the Hoot pages. I'm already published. Anything on the internet. Look, I want to play Blood or Wine.
Stop. Forget, 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 forget. undercoat's genitals or be killed. Shepherds in the rural western Baghdad neighborhood of Fazalia have recently been murdered for failing to die by their goats. Because the exposed genitals of goats may cause impure thoughts. It may cause impure thoughts.
Music for this edition, Blood or Wine from Waller Tom. Tommy says it's a metaphor for music. Galaxacy. This is Raquel and Jordan out in, is it Jordan? What's his name? There's these two cats that live out in Joshua Tree, and during this situation for the last 4 months, they've done 8 albums.
Wow.
Anybody complain about being bored, right? You can make some music. Yeah, and this one was, side one is called Heaven Channel Season 1, LP 6, Side B, Galaxacy. And great cats, very inventive. And finally, Diaper or Death. See, I thought those were good bookends, you know. It's either Blood or Wine, or it's Diaper or Death.
I kind of like Diaper or Death as the bookend.
Are you somebody who likes to talk about your songs? Or are you like, hey, that's why I wrote the songs. I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, no. I'll always talk about it. I love talking about the songs.
Tell me about you too.
Know about Diaper or Death.
Well, both of them.
Both of them. Well, let's do Diaper or Death first, because that one really came from a happenstance. My drummer walked into rehearsal one day, and he looked really troubled, and we said, hey, what's up, Kareem? And he said, oh, God, I just heard this horrible thing on NPR, and he started telling us all about these farmers that were being murdered if they didn't diaper their goats. We pulled up the report, and it just became this full together song from beginning to end, and we had hit record in the studio, and we had the most insane fun song in a matter of minutes, that really just came from an actual NPR report.
Now, why the 2-minute gap of piece of silence?
Well, that was, there was a secret song on the end of that. I was actually supposed to tell you about that. And
well,
I forgot.
I thought that was part of the song.
Yeah, there was a secret song because we had went into the studio and we had 8 songs and we called the album 8. And then when we were in the studio, we came up with this acoustic song, and our bass player, Daniel Seif, said, just put it on the end. Nope. If anybody cares to listen that long, then they'll get a thrill. But so we never really told anybody that there was a song on the end of that album.
So what's the name of that second song?
Did you listen to it?
Yeah, well, I got it. Yeah. We just heard it. I kept the 2-minute gap in there. I thought that was on purpose. I didn't know.
Did you play that song?
Yeah. Didn't you just hear me? I read the playlist to the people, the listeners.
Oh my God. And now you're telling, now my brain just lost me because I can't think anymore because we're in a pandemic and I don't talk to people. We can't see face.
Well, you know, I get these songs. I get 11 songs, and I put them on in the show and stuff, and I don't know that one's actually 2 songs.
Oh, so I'm in trouble.
No, you ain't in trouble. In fact, you're being the enlightener. You're helping me learn about this. Okay, so it's actually 2 songs. So Diaper Death was we start off with Blood Wine, then we heard the Galextasy piece. And then Diaper Death, but then you're saying there's another song, the bass band.
Yes, yes.
What's that called?
I think it's So Many Years.
So Many Years. Okay. Let me write that down. Okay. So.
And then Blood or Wine, I think you had asked about. Blood or Wine, I like wine. I like wine a lot. And Blood or Wine really was, I was in a dark mood. I love to write moody songs. It was probably boy induced. But my wine took over and I thought, you know, it could be blood that I was drinking, but it's wine. It creates music for me. And at that time, and that's where Blood or Wine came from.
In the process, what comes first, the words, the music, the title?
It depends, actually. Okay. Okay. Sometimes it's a melody. A lot of times, dreams. I've had a dream, and I can hear the song in its entirety. And I wake up, and I'll write things down. Sometimes it's words. I write a lot of poetry, and sometimes poetry will spawn a song. There'll be just one line that you go, oh, that's a song right there. The song Somewhere that you played actually came from poetry. I think it just comes as long as you're listening.
Where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me at walloftom.com for the music. They can find out everything you need to know on TommyV.com.
Yeah, we got to spell that, though. TommyV.com, people.
Correct. Like Tommy Vaughn. You can find all 3 of my novels on, I think, either of those sites, but I know for sure you can find them on Amazon, safe, secure, fast, to your door. And the books are This Rock in My Heart, This Roll in My Soul, and the end to the trilogy that just came out is This Rock and Roll Dream.
That's great. What kind of, you know, young person you meet, hypothetically.
Okay.
Boy, girl, whatever. But they want to get in the music racket. What's your advice? Because, you know, you've got a little bit of experience.
I definitely would say to band together with some like-minded souls. I definitely believe that just writing as much music as you possibly can is the best thing. Listen to yourself. Be true to yourself. Do what makes you happy. Write music that makes you happy. Because that's the only person that you can ever please is yourself.
Now, is that kind of advice different than you'd give to someone who wanted to get in the writing racket?
I know nothing about writing books. I just wrote three of them. Truthfully, I have people that say that, oh, I'd love to write a book. And I said, well, just start writing, you know. It really is, you don't talk about it, you just do it. If you have something inside of you that needs to get out, you got to let it out. You got to open that door.
That's good advice, really, for both forms of expression.
For both.
Tommy,
for both.
It's been a big honor to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you. My bass player wants me to tell you that Brave Captain changed his life.
That was a hard period for me. It was a hard part of my life. I got it from some movie, a lifeboat, and some drunk actress keeps calling the radio guy who's got to take over or something, Brave Captain, because, you know, it was a bad situation. Anyway, you get another record, another book, will you come back on the show, we can talk?
I would love to.
Okay, Tommy. People, it's been July 22, 2020 edition of Wapapito Show. Keep your powder dry.